Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and let's pop some champagne. Oh, wait, I don't have anything.
Jason's already celebrating.
Anyway,
I was ready for anything exactly. So I wore both. I brought goggles and these. So
there you go, guy.
Wow.
Nothing but partying going on here for the Blue Jays as we head toward Minnesota. The Blue Jays are there as of the road trip yesterday. Plenty of champagne popping yesterday during the actual celebration for the team. If you haven't looked at those videos on Twitter or Instagram, I highly recommend it. But first things first, we are here. We're here to chat some Blue Jays baseball as we get to go in this momentous time and where we actually are in the playoffs. And yes, I know that is an actual statement. I'm surprised I get to say it because it really hurt to get here at this point. But my hosts are with me, Jason, Ken. How are we doing this evening?
Doing okay. Very happy, good mood today. And just watched enough of those celebration videos to get really hyped up for this upcoming series.
Yeah,
it's awesome, fun stuff, Jason.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dreary day here on the left coast, but spirits were uplifted last night when we was confirmed that everything was going through. And I mean, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit, and I just wanted to say to start for the people who don't like watching the team celebrate when they win or get in or whatever, then don't watch, don't put it on your TV, don't go look it up. It's your option to go do that, and then don't tell us how much you don't like it.
So as you notice, we have a fourth square with us tonight. We have Charles Keim from jaysjournal.com, our actual parent. What's going on, Charlie? How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Excited to talk some Blue Jays baseball in victory and going toward playoffs victory, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason, it was 29 degrees and summer-like weather in Toronto today, so it's perfect for October baseball. Perfect.
Especially on the flip side of the border here, which is, I'm hoping, going to turn into a Blue Jay invasion in Minnesota over the next few days. I already know Baseball Dad has got his tickets to go to the game here soon. One of our friends that's on the show reoccurringly, because he actually lives in Minnesota. So that's like way too convenient that he all of a sudden gets to have a chance to go see three games and root for the Toronto Blue Jays. To that point, before we dive into everything, guys, I want to talk about how we got here. Just because, oh my God, it's like, I felt like I've had a heart attack. I've had 17 billion migraines. There's just everything that could go on went wrong. And I think this, with the way the season wrapped up and how we got here, I think the only way we could have actually clinched a playoff performance is by watching the other team forfeit out and lose, because it would have been too rewarding to watch them win at home in front of the fans. That's just kind of what it feels like as a mantra to this year. So I hope they get to do that when it comes this way. But Charlie, you're our guest tonight. How did it feel like? I went to bed Saturday thinking gloom and doom. There's no way the baseball gods are going to shine upon us. And I wake up to this wonderful news that says we clinched. How are you feeling after that?
Yeah, good. I mean, it was a great month of September, 15 wins, I think. And they've made up, was it five games on Seattle or three games on Texas? I mean, it was a pretty solid month, and for it to happen the way it did, I mean, yeah, it's always better to finish on a win and make it that way. But hey, the playoffs are the playoffs. You got to get in, and anything can happen, right?
Exactly. Jason, I see you getting all like antsy and where the goggles gone, but you're more than welcome to tell me how you're feeling.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, it's relief. It's excitement all combined into one, big serving of, like you said. I mean, the stress was unnecessary, but the one thing that I saw, even through some of those losing games coming down, was I saw Vladdy improving. I saw, you know, a very steady Springer. I saw Belt coming back from injury and just smashing the baseball. And you know, so the positives were there, even though sometimes the wins weren't. And I think we had this problem kind of a few times this year where things seemed to be firing correctly. We just weren't getting the wins. But, you know, like you said, we're in the playoffs now. You know, all it takes is just getting in. I mean, I don't know how many times in the last couple of years an 8 seed in the NHL playoffs has made mad hay. And you know, there's been a couple cup champions out of that. So, you know, I feel like we've got the best chance against Minnesota. I feel like, you know, we match up really well against them in a number of different categories. And I'm just excited to watch it, man. I think we're done for the year picking it apart, all the different things, and we've got nothing but an off season to talk about it. But hopefully they can give us another 30 days of baseball.
Great. And so, Ken, how are you feeling after we, like I said, kind of walked into the clinch, but we still got here?
Yes, very much relieved, because I remember our previous episode or a couple episodes ago, where like we had to go like 9-3 in the last 12 games. And I was counting every time we lost. I was like, okay, we only have two losses that we can give up, and then one loss. And then people on the news saying, yeah, as long as, you know, we do our part and, you know, these other teams lose, like Seattle loses. And I'm like, oh God, now we have to rely on the others. So, you know, I remember it was not last year, but the year before, where I think we did everything we could. And unfortunately, it was based on another team why we couldn't get into the playoffs. Now, that was a little bit concerning to me that this time we had to rely on other teams to get in. And don't get me wrong, I would have really loved seeing that celebration that they did have in the dress rooms out on the field in front of the thousands upon thousands of Jays fans. But at the end of the day, woof, that sense of relief. Okay, we're in it. So now let's just get past that first. Let's just get the first win, and then we should be relaxed after that.
Nice to see Seattle get punched in the face a little bit too, eh? They wore that one.
It might have been a little below the belt for them this year, but that's how they did to us last year. So I'm calling it a fair game. So, Blue Jays fans, as you're listening to the show, I see many people coming and going already for this. Make sure you chime in on the chats. We're here to talk with everybody this evening. Make sure you get that in there and get your questions. We'll talk about it live right here. We'll make sure we give you credit for the questions and all that kind of good stuff. So we got in. We're all set. We're moving on. We got to go to Minnesota. I just thought the craziest thing is about this whole thing was the fact that we got clinched the way we did. And carrying the momentum through what was a horrible, abysmal game on Sunday to party hard is what it really looked like. Because I'm sitting there going, how do you get any momentum for this giant party after watching everybody in their brother that never starts in our games, including a pitcher I completely written off and forgotten about in Buffalo to that point, was the Buffalo pitcher of the year. I just couldn't believe that they, you know, pulled out all the stops. And I thought it was funny seeing all the videos of Kevin Kiermaier, the wonderful ones of Alejandro Kirk looking like he's like lost his prom date, standing in the corner a little bit, things like that. Out of the videos and whatnot you guys have seen from the Blue Jays celebration stuff, is there anything that stuck out or anybody would like to just throw out there and say? Because I think there's a few couple things out there.
I really liked, and as much as it was, you know, they're right in the heat of it and fun and all the rest of it, I thought John Schneider was excellent. I thought he spoke very eloquently. I thought he was very succinct about how the season was. I thought he was very, very positive about how they're going into this. You know, they're only attacking the next three games. And I feel like it's been a while since I've heard him speak and been like, okay, you know, you're in it to win it now. And you're finally certain, you know, we can trust you. So, that was, you know, one of the ones that I really liked. And then there was some really hilarious ones, but
the fact that Jordan Romano basically went full Josh Donaldson, one beers, two beers, thought it was hilarious. But and then I'll even admit it, that I think the master of ceremonies, more or less, was Kevin Kiermaier. At least that's what it felt like. Yeah, And to that point, like I said, I never had a problem with him as a content of character thing. I just couldn't believe he got on this team and he's done as well as he did for this team. But I thought it was very cool to see them just so intertwined. It didn't look like there was the clicky stuff during the party or anything. Like I said, I made the joke about Kirk, but it's, I think the camera just happened to catch him at that one point. And I thought it was kind of funny. But Kenny, what are you thinking after that lock? Do you think this core is ready to run for that extended piece here in the postseason?
Oh yeah, I think they're definitely they're hungry, right? Especially from last season as well, especially for those who were there in the last season where I think we just lost and there was a chance we even had, I think we were close to winning at least one of the games there, and then we just unfortunately didn't pull it off in the end. So getting swept last year was a definite, left a sour taste in a lot of the players' mouths. So I think today, or this last few days or so, once we've clinched, feels like, all right, we're not going to make the same mistakes we did last season. So let's just clamp down and make sure you can enjoy it for now. But when it's game time, we really got to take out Minnesota. We got to start a momentum, start off with a victory. That's what I'm saying. Get that first victory, because I know, when was the last time we actually had a playoff win?
Yeah, well, no, they won a game last year, right? Or did we get swept?
I think they won. They did.
I thought it was tied, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they're 0-5. They're on an 0-5 streak right now in the postseason.
Exactly. So get that get that thing off their back, get the monkey off their back. And the only thing that makes it better is that Minnesota's worse. I think they're like, 1-18 in their last
series. Kenny's burying my lead here.
He's crushing it.
Does anybody remember how many losses it has been for the Minnesota Twins consecutively in postseason play? No. Anybody?
No, 25?
18.
A little south, but not much. 18, there it is. 18 consecutive playoff losses for the Minnesota Twins. And I would say a lot of that is because they kept running into the New York Yankees. But to that point, that kind of builds me up with a little encouragement, but also makes me wonder if this team comes in with a chip on their shoulder thinking they have to prove it. And the fact that we have to win two ball games in Minnesota, which, like I said, I'm hoping we get a little bit of a home turnout in that midst of that, because the border is only so far away right there. So I'm a strange feeling that we're going to get some road trippers and whatnot. But guys, that is where we are. Game time, Minnesota, 3-game series. Do or die at this point to move on. Charlie, we got Goss on the mound first game. How are you feeling for game one?
Yeah, that is going to be a great matchup because Pablo Lopez and Goss, almost identical stats, 230-odd strikeouts, a lot of innings. These are aces, so it's ace versus ace. Gossman doesn't have a great record this year against the Twins, and for his career, he's not great either. Also not great in the postseason. So, Lopez, he pitched, I don't know if anyone remembers, he was with Miami and pitched really well against the Braves in the National League Division Series in 2020. I think they lost the game, but he pitched 5 innings and allowed 2 hits. And it was because they were both home runs. I think they lost 2-1 or something like that. But he's a big game pitcher. Goss is a big game pitcher. It's going to be a great game. 4:38 p.m. though, I don't know, it's 5 p.m. somewhere, but that's a little early for us here in on the East Coast.
Well, that happens.
Gonna be 8 minutes before I get out of work because I'm gonna come home and go warp 10 all the way back to my house. I will hit light speed.
They're joking in Toronto that most of the fans are gonna be on the 401 or the Gardner trying to commute home, you know. So it's a weird time, but whatever. Question.
Who does the radio broadcast for the playoffs? Would that be Ben Wags still, or is that somebody else?
Sportsnet gets the rights, right?
Sportsnet takes over the rights, I think, in as soon as it goes to the playoffs. I think they take over the right to everything.
There you go. So I just figured it's going to be whoever from MLB Network doing the actual TV broadcast, but I didn't know who would do the radio for that whole thing. I was kind of curious. I never listened to it. The last time I listened to a playoff game on the radio was when Roy Halladay pitched his freaking no-hitter in the playoffs because I didn't have cable and our antenna. I started listening to that game on the radio through MLB's thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, he's throwing a no-hitter, and I walked across the street to the bar. So it worked out.
I agree with Charlie on a lot of those points. I feel like one of the big ones is And I feel like this has happened a couple of times this year. And I know Gausman doesn't have a great record in the postseason, but I really feel like he is a linchpin for wanting this team to win something this year. And yeah. I guarantee you that what we're going to see in game one is a guy pitching with purpose, a guy, you know, trying to get as many outs as he possibly can, not trying to rely on the defense in some cases. And I feel like sometimes when he's kind of, you know, backed into a corner a little bit, that's when he really comes out swinging. And so, I mean, my hope is that we see the deep down Gausman, the one that really wants to throw a ball right through you. And, you know, I feel like these guys are ready to rip. I feel like they're just, you know, like it's been a while. I feel like the Seattle thing was that last year. It was just, it just didn't even feel like playoff baseball. It was just like, but yeah. I feel like there's a lot of excitement around the whole league this year, with not only on the American League side, but on the NL side as well. And I think that, you know, they're hyping it properly and the numbers they're going to see are higher. And I think some of these guys know that, like, I think the Vladdies, the Bichettes, the Wits, I think they know that they're on the big stage and they've really got to perform now. And I feel like they're going to.
So when you look at these two teams on paper, they are both pitching first teams. But does anybody have any idea what the runs scored versus runs allowed looks like?
No. Run differential?
Yeah, as far as just – everybody always gets on the fact that, obviously, with the Blue Jays, quote-unquote, aren't scoring enough runs this season. And if that's the metric, that we didn't score enough runs, the Blue Jays scored 746 runs this year. The Minnesota Twins did not do that much better. So you cannot line this up as far as on par much better, I don't think. And we are going to Minnesota, which is known as a pitcher's ballpark. I don't know how this isn't spelling the fact that we're going to literally be watching zeros for how many innings, probably for all three games.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Well, at least not for us. I don't want us to have no runs, but yeah.
Yeah, you cut out a little there, Kenny.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, like I don't want there to be too many zeros. At least it's on, unless on the Twins side, absolutely. But for us, we got to be hitting the ball, man. So.
Yeah, and the Twins aren't they're not a great hitting team. They out-hit the Jays home run-wise by a few. But I was looking at some of the stats earlier. I know their contact is much lower. You know, they're just not the Jays get the ball in play a lot more, and the Jays hit the ball with purpose more. You know, you're giving up a few extra home runs. They strike out a lot too. The Twins do. So, I mean, that bodes really well with Gausman and with Kikuchi and with Bassett, actually. You know, if they're willing to swing at bad pitches to try and hit bad balls. So I don't mind that. They can do that all series as far as I'm concerned.
So
you think,
go ahead, Charlie.
Sorry. I was just going to say, I think it was 121 or 120 runs was the run differential for Minnesota. It was about 80 for the Jays. Yes. So, and that's because Minnesota's pitching staff is slightly better.
But look at the division they play in.
Yeah, but look at the division they play in. The thing that really caught my eye was if you look at records against teams above 500, Minnesota only played about 72 or 73 games against teams above 500. The Jays played over 90 games against teams above 500 because of the division they're in, obviously. But to me, the Jays might be a little bit more battle-hardened. I don't know if that's the term, but they've played a tougher schedule through the season. And even though they don't have a great run differential there, I suspect you know that they're probably battle-scarred more than the Twins are. Which is a good thing.
Hopefully not too scarred.
Yeah.
I think that's all of us Blue Jays fans. We're the ones that got scarred this season. But I thought where you were going there, Charlie, I'm going to build on that same idea too, is if you look at their home record, it's the exact same record as the Toronto Blue Jays away record. So I thought that was a little odd that the Twins are 47-34 at home and the Blue Jays are 46-35. Away from the Rogers Center. And we already know that they hit more home runs away from home. That's a known fact. The fact that how many months did it take Vladdy to hit one in the Rogers Center? You know, it's those kind of things this season. So maybe these are the things that actually play into the whole secret sauce here for us a little bit. And then we can get past this series and maybe play some home games too. But at this point, the Blue Jays are currently slated for all three of these games being in Minnesota. That is the wonderful fun of the new rules in Minnesota being a division winner. That is why they get the home field advantage. The Tampa Bay Rays being the ulterior to that idea for being the lead wild card seat. Guys, a lot of weird shit happened right at the end of the season there because everybody was walking out Sunday morning going, oh, great, we got to go fucking Tampa. Got to play at the Trop. And it's amazing how many things change in 24 hours because not only does the Texas Rangers lose a division spot, like just boom, gone. The whole wild card ranking changed to the point where we were the final wild card spice, but because of tiebreakers. And here you are. So we get to go to Minnesota.
So what is it? Game three would be the first. Yeah. Would game three be the first game back in Toronto if, of the ALDS if they get through?
I think in the ALDS, yes.
So they'd have to win in Minnesota and then go to Houston. First two games would be in Houston, and then game three would be in Toronto.
Yes, I believe so.
Sounds like it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of rough. Yeah. Why'd you say that? No, I'm just kidding. So, but yeah, you're not wrong because the winner of the other bracket between Tampa and the Rangers gets to play the, you know, crazy Baltimore Orioles. That is I think it was the first time since 1970 something that they had won 100 wins in a season.
It's crazy.
I mean, that's a good young team.
To look at that team. So. So,
but the Orioles are so good. I can't even. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be so hard to get by them, no matter what you do. My hope is
maybe we'll get lucky.
Yeah, or that they just burn themselves out a little bit, like they, you know, it's the classic. You know, they're full of teen angst, and they're going to come running out, and they're going to try and do every single thing, and you know, there's not a lot of veteran presence on the team to try and keep them from, you know, stealing too many bases or getting caught or, you know, diving for a dumb play or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully it's the youth run wild and they burn themselves out a little bit and it evens the playing field.
Well, didn't the Dodgers last year, weren't they supposed to be like one of the league leaders, but then it seems like they got too much rest between series and then they just couldn't pull it off at the end or something like that. And so
the best team in most sports usually is not the team to win the championship. We see this in football all the time. Hockey, same thing. The playoff system in hockey just beats up everybody, so you never get the same thing, right?
Right.
And baseball is getting more in that ballpark now that you have more teams and whatnot in the offseason, or not the offseason, in the postseason. And they're going to beat each other up a little bit. Right now, it's whoever the hell catches fire. And guys, I don't know what you were thinking, but Charlie, I think you hit the nail on the head. We were pretty damn close to being on fire there at the end of the season. And if a ball went a couple of different ways on some key games there, we would have had the 91 wins and wouldn't be having this, oh, we just made it conversation. But being at 89, it made it very lucky. Guys, remember, we had 91 wins not even 3 years ago. And we didn't make the playoffs.
Yep.
Just saying. So game two. We don't know who exactly the pitching starter will be, but the expectation for the Twins is Sonny Gray. Right now it's either going to be Jose Barrios or Chris Bassett. One or the other, I'm completely fine with, but Sonny Gray is that old guy that just does not know how to go away and somehow seems getting better with age. He had another great season here, and the fact that the Twins are anchored with that rotation with Lopez and him, I don't know what to get. I'm always that one that's – Sonny Gray is going to break it sometime. I just can't believe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's just me. I don't know what you guys think.
I remember when Sonny Gray was the hottest commodity in baseball. They were talking about this guy being just next level, and he never really, really, really punched through that ceiling. He got moved around a bunch, and And I mean, he's had a good year. He's a hittable pitcher. I feel like he doesn't have, you know, devastating stuff. I think the Jays need to worry a little bit more about the closing trio that the Twins have. They've got three guys that can throw balls through bats. Like, they're hard throwing, you know, they can eat innings. And with Jordan Romano, you know, sort of doing Jordan Romano things right now. You know, I don't know. I think those three scare me a little bit more than the other.
Yeah. But the catch is, if they can get to the starters early, maybe they have to burn through that. I don't know if you get to Pablo Lopez, but I'm hoping that there's something left in the tank for what we've seen from this offense, and they're fired up to come into Minnesota and they can chunk away at him, or at least make him just go through pitches, because that's something that Lopez has suffered from. If you can get to the point where you stretch out innings with him, he does lose it near the end of his outing. So if you could get to him to the point where you can get him in the fifth inning, maybe that's enough. I have no idea, but that has definitely been his MO, and that's even when he was with the Marlins. He does throw a lot of pitches sometimes. So, but on that point, like I said, Sonny Gray, I still can't believe nobody can hit him. I really don't. Yeah, I think it's because he just is so good at locating the damn ball. It's I won't say he is Greg Maddux, but he's trying to be Greg Maddux. So then again,
what about
didn't we get Maddux the other night? But Gerrit Cole, didn't he throw 80 pitches in a complete game?
Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah.
is there anybody in any sport other than Connor McDavid that looks like they're having less fun when they're playing it? Like, I mean, come on. Like, Gerrit Cole looks like before every inning, somebody told them something worse than they told him the inning prior. Like, I don't get it at all. And he comes off and he's in the dugout and he's looking around like this, and the rest of his team is looking at him. He's just like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, the guy, I don't know. Everything about him, I can't stand.
Yeah. He definitely didn't come by the Audi sign still, but that's besides the point.
I was just gonna say Sonny Gray, he was right there in the AL Cy Young conversation as late as August, I think. I think if we were able to split the first two games with Lopez against Lopez and Gray, game three I think gives the Jays a clear advantage, because you got either Berríos, Bassett, or maybe even Kikuchi to start.
Yep.
And the Twins would have to counter with Joe Ryan or Ober. I think the Jays would have a clear advantage in a game three situation.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%, buddy. I think
at least starting pitching wise, right?
Yeah. I think it's so important for the Jays to not only to win, you know, but to even just get on the pitching early. Like, I think they've got to come flying out of the gate and hit everything that's thrown at them. Don't try and watch. Don't try and be a hero and look at a ball that's close and then, you know, just hit it somewhere and go run your legs off and put a couple numbers up, and then, you know, watch them, see what they can do. Because it's like you said, once they get past their first two, like, even, you know, I don't know if you guys know or not, but Sonny Gray's only had two postseason appearances and he's 0-2. And it's not that he got killed. He's only got a 3 ERA or something like that, but he doesn't seem to. And I think this was the knock on him even back in the day, was that he just wasn't, when the game got bigger, he didn't, you know, like, some of the losses he had this year were big games for the Twins that they sort of needed to get to stay where they were. Now, you know, who knows what happens, but like you said, the Jays have got to come flying out of the gate in both games.
I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but I made the Roy Halladay no hitter in the playoffs joke. Was Sonny Gray pitching for the Reds that day? Because he might have been. It was about that same time frame. I'm curious, but
you're gonna have to go with the Google on that one, buddy.
Yeah, I'm diving deep now. So, but you were right, Charlie. It would be probably Joe Ryan in that game. And I was just looking up Joe Ryan's stats and how he more or less fell off a cliff post his injured list stint this year. He was on fire. And then after that, had a 5 ERA and only matched up one win in like 8 starts. So is he back to that form? I'm much looking forward to the fact that if you, like you guys said, I really think this is going to be a 3-game series. Get to that point where you can go and just beat up on Joe Ryan, and then whatever the hell that bullpen throws at you isn't such a bad deal. But obviously winning every ball game before that would be perfect, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I don't think
it matters if you pitch Bassett or Berríos 2 or 3. It doesn't make a difference because you do have, like we were talking about, this is going to be a bullpen that's going to have two other lefties in it, in Ryu probably and Yusuke Kikuchi. So if one of those guys isn't quite firing on all cylinders, you want to be able to save your bullpen a little bit, especially in those first two games. Those are going to be two big guys, I think, that are going to end up being on that roster, or at least the one of them, to be able to eat up those innings. And I do think that Ryu might make this roster just because of why not? Who else are you going to put in there? They already lost the guy that I think should be making it in Jay Jackson.
Yeah,
I don't see that you throw Nate Pearson in that bullpen.
Let's not talk about the Jay Jackson thing.
Yeah, that's a sore subject with Blue Jays fans, including myself.
Yeah.
So I'm disappointed. On that note, we hope to get to see you again, Jay. And if not, best wishes. So anyways.
That was really sad.
Let's talk. Yeah. But let's look at the offense side of this thing for the Minnesota Twins, guys. This is a lineup, like we were saying, that's done just enough to get where they are. MLB.com did a great piece going position by position through both the lineups for the Toronto Blue Jays and the Minnesota Twins. And it starts at a catcher, obviously. The Blue Jays have Alejandro Kirk that isn't the Alejandro Kirk that we had last year, but I don't know what you guys have noticed, but he is definitely hitting the ball a lot harder up the middle into the right field over the last 3-4 weeks. It's very encouraging. On the other side, the Twins have Ryan Jeffers. So right now, MLB.com says the Twinkies actually went out in that argument, but they didn't say how close it is. What do you think at that?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Position as far as what we're getting. I don't think Jeffers has quite the defensive prowess that Kirky has with an arm, but maybe it's just me.
Where are we going? You want me to start?
Go for it.
Go ahead, Jason.
I think I like Kirk in, out of those two. And I feel like, kind of like I said about a few of the other guys, Kirky's getting hot at the right time. And, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, they look at micro stats and they look at all this stuff. I was noticing something the other day that home runs and doubles seem to be the things that win the most postseason baseball games. It's not triples. Singles are great, but a lot of those singles don't score. So the home run becomes a much more important ball. And Kirk is hitting the ball into the gap with, you know, like, I mean, it's like he's mad at it, which is a good thing. And I feel like his wheels are a little bit better right now. I don't know if he's, you know, he's on an all enchilada diet or what he's doing, but he seems to be a little bit faster right now. And
with enough maple beef, he's good.
Yeah.
Extra enchiladas. That's his diet.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that I don't know if you guys have been, you know, like the guys that are in Canada, if you've noticed, but the Sportsnet has all of the best of the Jays in 30 on right now. And they should be playing this stuff in the Jays locker room, like watching some of these monster home runs that the Jays hit this year. And just, you know, the fun they were having when they were doing it. And I even forgot a lot of it. Like they were showing that the Tampa game where they had the player come in and pitch, and he struck Vladdy out, and then Vladdy hit one that just about tore a hole in the back of the stadium. You know, just fun stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I feel like Kirk wins that battle.
Anybody else?
I mean, Jeffers does have 14 home runs. Kirk had what, 8? You get a little bit more power offensively, maybe. I just wrote an article about, you know, what the postseason roster might look like. And part of the reason I wrote it was because Kirk's a great contact hitter. He only struck out like 11% of the time this year. I think he only missed 12% of the pitches, you know, on his whiff rate. So, I mean, this is a contact hitter. And as Jason was saying, if his swing is as good as it's been the last couple of weeks, he's going to be driving balls into the gap. He's going to get on base. And that was kind of the nexus of my article. I was saying, Kirk's going to be on base in the sixth or seventh inning in a tight game one or game two. Who should Schneider have on the bench? Kirk's a slow runner. I mean, yeah, he has looked a little bit faster, but it's relative, right? He's 554th in Major League Baseball in terms of sprint speed.
I was trying to be a nice guy.
Yeah. But
it's not exactly flat, but to that point.
and Craig, you know, Cam Eaton, I mean, the guy swiped 53 bases this year for Buffalo, 32 bases last year in New Hampshire. I was making
that
the
might
argument
be the reason you lose somebody in your bullpen. It really might, because if they want to hold on to the
argument
Dalton Pompey 2023 equivalent.
Yeah, I made the argument they go 12 pitchers and leave Ryu off altogether, and add Cam Eaton to the lineup, because Eaton gives you a key skill, which is speed, right? And in a tight game, close, high leverage situation, if Schneider can put Eaton in there for Kirk or Brandon Belt, even who isn't a great runner, you know, I mean, you may steal a run, and that might make the difference in a 2-1 or a 3-2 ball game. And the Jays actually are pretty good in one run ball games this year. They, whereas the Twins are not. So to give Schneider that kind of advantage with a guy like Eaton, I think could make a huge difference in this series. And that was my argument anyway. And it was because Kirk is just so damn slow.
And then, just to put this out, we know Tyler Heineman is not any faster.
No.
And honestly, that was one of the other things I wanted to talk about while we were at the catching position. Do you take a flyer and let Dalton Varsho be your backup catcher in a 3-game series and just bring Cam Eaton and Ryu with you?
Yeah, it's
easier. He's your emergency catcher, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's an all break in case of emergency, and those are some pretty damn shitty odds if we lost our left fielder and our catcher in a damn game. It's not like the two of them are going to run into each other. They're far apart.
Ryu, by the way, Craig, I've been hearing Bowden Francis might make the postseason roster. Schneider mentioned it.
I have nothing to go on with that.
Yeah, Schneider mentioned it pregame yesterday you know, someone asked, could Francis be in consideration? And he said, absolutely. You know, again, the guy's stretched out. He's, he's had a great season. He's got an unbelievable curveball.
Yep.
Yes.
And he's kind of intimidating there on the mound, right? Like, he's a big guy. even though he doesn't throw that hard, but still, I mean, it's, he's the kind of guy you want coming in, out of your bullpen late in the game, or even in the middle innings. And it just, he's sort of intimidating looking, you know, with that little mustache. And
he's a tall guy on that mound. Like, he's sneaky on the interviews and stuff after the games and stuff. That, like, he doesn't look like he's much tall, but then you get him on that mound and he's got that, you know, from being on the bump and everything. And it, like you said, intimidating would be the word. So maybe that's enough. It really could be. The only reason I like the idea of maybe Ryu is the fact that you have somebody that's been in the playoffs before, and it's a completely different look. Even if you look at the lefties that we have in our bullpen, even Kikuchi throws the ball damn hard. Then you have Genesis Cabrera throwing the ball hard. Then you have Tim Mesa throwing the ball hard. I guess maybe that would be the other argument. Maybe you have too many damn lefties. But I don't know. Just throwing an idea out there. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I was going to say, you can never have too many lefties in that situation. But no. Aside from that, I think it's going to be interesting to see how the bullpen is going to shape up, especially as you get to those tight games. And like Charlie was talking about, the Jays did really well, especially in one-run games. So, you know, I mean, I hope we don't get too many one-run games, you know, from that position. I mean, I would love that if we were all two games were a blowout for the Jays' victory. I mean, that'd be ideal, right? So everyone's kind of saying it's best of three, like it's going to be a three-gamer. I'm like, all right, for two, let's see.
Yep. So as you look around the infield, I'd say it's a pretty good mix of looking at matchups. I think obviously you do have the Blue Jays' most elite players playing at short and first base, and you have two of the best players on the Minnesota Twins in Julian and Polanco at second and third base. So I think that you got pretty much a toss up there. I do think that leaps and bounds the Blue Jays infield is better defensively than both of these teams. And I think the metrics will back us both up. And I think that same piece translates to the outfield, but that's where the Twins' best players are in Wallner and Kepler. And those are their hard-hitting bats in the middle of that lineup. And then obviously we have Kevin Kiermaier up the middle that it's hard to match up defensively with any on any level on any team with what Kevin Kiermaier can bring to it. As far as looking around the rest of the diamond, guys, what are you thinking as far as how these lineups are going to shape out? Is this advantage Blue Jays or is this advantage Twins?
I mean,
at all, like, or is say, dead nuts like we were talking about.
I mean, I would like to think the Jays have the slight advantage. Don't the Twins have like four or five injuries right now for their key starters or something like that as well? So, yeah. I mean, if we don't capitalize on that within the first game or two, I'd be like, you know, it'd be an uphill battle for the Jays.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, Buxton, Correa, and Royce Lewis, that rookie who had an unbelievable September. Does anyone know what their status is?
All three of them are banged up. They haven't said if they're on the rosters or not. The only one that is probably not going to be active is Carlos Correa. That they're basically saying that Correa will be he's going to be active, but he's not going to be anywhere near 100%.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder if he's actually DHing and not playing shortstop.
So I was just reading. Twins currently have three players on the IL, Correa, Lewis, and Buxton. Previously stated, he expects all of them to play, but a lot of uncertainty surrounding both Lewis and Buxton, as I guess the injuries have been a little longer than they had, you know, they had originally thought. So, yeah. I mean, you know, if we're looking at those two as a comparison, then I mean, we've really only got Danny Jansen out versus three of their better guys.
Bryce Lewis is their everyday shortstop and a complete stud. I watched him in Rochester here before we became the minor league team for the Nationals this year. Byron Buxton, complete stud, monster home run hitter, and the fact that he just plays great center field too, but he's also hamstring and knee injury. And then Carlos Correa has a possibly broken foot was what I was led to believe a few weeks ago. So how broken?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
So then Kirk can run faster than Correa. So we're good then.
Yeah.
A limp footed Carlos Correa might be still faster than certain people. I know a hobbled Byron Buxton with a bad hamstring is probably faster and probably still half of the Major League Baseball. But to that point, that is, as much as I would love to see them at their best, and watch the Twins. And if we're going to beat the best, we, you know, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best, right? So that would be fun to see them full strength and go that. But this is definitely something that plays in the Blue Jays' favor. That only makes the pitching performance for the Minnesota Twins that much more critical. So good deal. So game starts tomorrow evening, or going toward dinner and whatnot. Who do you think in this three-game set, guys, is going to be the X factor, the catalyst, that person that brings the Blue Jays to the promised land in all hopefulness, right? I'm going to go right around the table here. We'll let our guests go first. Is it going to be a player or is it going to be a specific performance? What are you thinking, Charlie, that makes the Blue Jays win this one?
I mean, wouldn't it be great if Vladdy was, you know, 2021 Vladdy tonight, this series?
Yeah, I think that would make all Blue Jays fans unanimously rejoice if he just went off and had like a Paul Molitor 93 World Series performance in these three-game series and just go off, right?
Yeah. And plus, don't forget, him and Bichette are actually – this is their chance to play for the big contracts, right? Bichette signed a deal through the end of his arbitration, but it's $30 million or something like that. But this is the chance for the $100 and $200 and $300 million contracts, right? So I want to see Bichette and Vladdy grab it. Because, frankly, the Jays are old, right? They're the third oldest team in the league. Belt, Kiermaier, Springer – Chapman's playing for a contract, but yeah, maybe Chapman's playing for a contract, but a lot of these guys are not playing for their big contracts, right? Vladdy and Bo, I mean, this is their time to shine, baby.
There it is.
I'd like to see those guys drive it.
Good deal. Kenny, I'm going to let you go next. Who do you think factors in most for the Blue Jays in this three-game series?
I mean, I'd like to piggyback off of Charlie and say it's Vlad and Bo. I mean, but I'm thinking, you know what, that I think everyone's expecting them to perform as well. I'm looking for guys that we just want them to stay steady, but might pull out something in the end. I'm thinking like a Chapman or a Varsho at this point, because I feel like Varsho's starting to get a little bit momentum lately. Chapman, who hasn't been hitting well for a while, but I just feel like he's due for something. And this could be the opportunity, right? We're trying to beat up on their pitching staff, and they're already depleted for the Twins already from their offensive side, so it could be something that I could see some those two guys maybe trying to step up a little bit.
There we go. Jason, X factor for you. Is it pitching? Is it hitting? What do you got?
I got two. My two X factors are the Kiermaier-Springer combination in the outfield, and then I feel like they're savvy vets. They want to get a win. They've both appear to really enjoy their time in Toronto. And I know that for them to have a win, I think it would finally end a lot of the BS that Springer feels like he gets and just all of that stuff. I think it, you know, I think the title of this whole thing could have been Monkey Off Our Back. And then my other X factor, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say Cam Eden is going to make a massive impact in this series. I think Cam Eden, Jays fans, if you don't know who this dude is, he is fast. Not like crazy, crazy De La Cruz fast, but if you watch him steal bases, he reads the pitcher's foot so well, and he's so far gone before the guy's in his motion that he very rarely even challenges a throw out. So he is my X factor. He is going to be put in key situations when Belt will hit a double or hit a single or Kirky, or, you know, even some of the guys, like even a guy like Chapman who may be decently fast, but he's not him fast. And so, you know, Eden, he's my guy.
So I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of what you all touched on. I think Ken actually said the name. I don't know how he's going to factor in, but I think the 2018 AA New Hampshire MVP is actually going to shine, and that is Kevin Biggio. The last time that he was in a playoff position, he was in the same team with all his same current players, right? You know, brought up with Bo and Vladdy. He's the one that hasn't been able to grab a headline, right? He's behind these guys, but he's always been consistently matched up with it. I do think Kevin Biggio, even though he probably won't be in the starting lineup, is going to find a Blue Jay moment and be the one that actually is the X factor in one of these games, if not a few of them. I don't know how he factors in because I do think Whit Merrifield is going to be your second baseman for most of these games. And with what Dalton Varsho has done over the last few weeks with being clutch, I think they're going to have the normal defensive outfield with Varsho, Kiermaier, and Springer. And then you're going to probably see Brandon Belt most of the games against this pitching rotation that we're going to see from the Twins in these three games. So the question is, why would I make this comment when he's clearly going to be the first guy off the bench? And that's exactly why. He's going to be the first guy off the bench, unless you're stealing base with Cam Eating, to Jason's point.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I think the other one that Ken mentioned that's very important to keep in mind in this situation is Dalton Varsho has heard all the talk about all the other guys that went to the Diamondbacks this year and they got him in the playoffs and all this other stuff. And I finally think that Varsho went, oh yeah, you guys want to see a baseball player? Here I come. And, you know, for the last month and a bit, he's been lights out. And, you know, Kenny, you might, you've been a bit of a submariner on the picks to click here. You might be right again, but
yeah, there it is. So,
hey, Craig,
last thing I want to talk. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I mention one thing on that? So, last night when I was watching the celebration in the dressing room, Schneider, Biggio, Vladdy, Bo, let's not forget in 2017, that was your core of the Dunedin Blue Jays who won the Florida League. And then in 2018, when New Hampshire, the Fisher Cats won the Eastern League. Biggio, I think, was the MVP.
That's the one I was at. That's right? Where I was going. Yeah.
And if you watched the game yesterday, when the Jays were scoring runs, it was Vladdy, Bo, and Biggio. And with Schneider managing, it just sort of, it's like the band's back together.
More
and
sauce.
These guys have won championships together, yes, in the minors, but if those guys can all get firing together, you could do some damage, I think.
I agree. And the biggest thing of all those guys, I think the thing is they're going to find a way to get on base. We know Biggio can take a walk. Vladdy's going to hit him in, and then Bo's going to just destroy baseballs to the right side. That's just what happens. So there's going to be enough to fill in, I think, with that lineup, along with all the other guys that we had mentioned here, because this is a solid baseball team. And watching Ben Verlander here in the clips that popped up on my thing, watching the saying the Twins are just going to decimate the Blue Jays made me laugh a little bit. So, but I'd rather be the underdog and surprise everybody. You know, it's not like I'm one of these or anything, or one of these or anything like that. But on that note, guys, I want to just last thing, touch on the three pitchers that we have said are going to pitch in this series, right? We got Gausman pitching tomorrow. We're going to have, in some combination, Bassett and Berríos in the next 3 days, all back to back to back. Out of those three, who is going to take the crown for the best performance? Because I think they're all going to be wearing it a little bit, to the point that they're all going to want to go 7 innings and just mow through these Minnesota Twins. And I can think all three of them are capable of doing it. You're the guest. I'll let you go first. Jason, go ahead.
All right. So I think the Hound is going to do it. I like Bassett. He was last five starts, he was 3-1, 2-something ERA. Got to 200 innings, which was very important to him personally. And it's this guy, he's something. He's just what, 8 different pitches, and he's just a bulldog out there. If he goes 7, you bring on Hicks and you bring on Romano and lights out, game over, right? So Gausman, I don't know. I he's your ace and but he's going up against Lopez. That's going to be just a great game tomorrow. But, I want to see Bassett win. I really do.
There you go. Jason Senior, you were ready to go on that. Why don't you tell us what's next?
It's funny because I also agree with him that the Hound is going to be probably the most important out of our starting three, if we consider them to be, you know, Gausman, Berríos, and Bassett. I think that Bassett looks ready. He looks like he's ready to chew through the railing that they have to go over to come out onto the field. He's like a video game. Like you said, eight pitches and all this different stuff. And, I think one of the big differences in this whole pitching scenario, the entire thing, is Chad Green. I think Chad Green, if he pitches well, he gives the Jays, he can go in any point of a game. He can give you two innings. He can give you half an inning. He can give you three innings if you needed to. He looks poised. He looks healthy. He looks like he could throw the ball right through the catcher's glove if he wanted to. So, I didn't mean to get right on Charlie's bandwagon there, but I think he's right with Bassett.
It's not a bad bandwagon, to be honest.
I know.
So
it's you have to suck up to the boss sometimes.
Or are you going
to
get you riding the Bass boat here, or are you going to get something else in this conversation?
Well, I think the key to this one is going to be Alec Manoah. No, not Alec. I'm gonna have to jump on
too soon.
As much as I want, I think I'm gonna unfortunately piggyback as well. Is that I think Bass has just been playing phenomenally lately. I think he's just gonna take this momentum and just continue grinding through it, right? As much as I want Gausman to be like that key, maybe, but it's hard to bet against Bass at this point.
I tend to agree with you, but to that point, just for the sake of argument, I'm going to pick somebody different. I think Jose Berríos is going to come into the backyard here where he used to play all day, every day, and he's going to go, you all are going to regret the fact that you didn't want to sign me long term, because that's what happened. He got traded. The Blue Jays gave him a giant dumpster full of money and said, good luck, get out there and pitch. And we saw, unfortunately, last year that didn't go so hot. This is now the same Jose Berríos that I watched here in Rochester, New York, run all the way through the Twins system and run to the promised land to the point where he was one of the best pitchers in baseball at that time when he was traded. So I think this is where he's going to be the nail in the coffin, I really think, for this series. And if not, he's going to pitch a phenomenal game one in the round two against the Houston Astros.
Revenge tour.
So there you go.
Tour 2023. Love it.
There it is. So I'm all fine with just naming this whole postseason performance the Revenge Tour after what we all went through the last year and the year before that, just missing the playoffs. So, anyways, guys, is there any other topics that you all would like to talk out here before we do our last pick to click for the regular season and go into the postseason?
Not really. The big thing for me is, we finally got a decent amount of people listening to this thing. And you know what, guys, just watch the games and be a part of it. Like, I know that, Craig, you're hoping that we're going to get some cross border. We will. But that there's people that are going to go. While we were on the thing here, I actually looked at how much tickets to fly to Minnesota were. And oddly enough, not a lot of people fly to Minnesota. So,
but it is a giant international airport that I have flown way too many times through.
Yeah, Hubber. And I think that Jays fans just get involved. I mean, this is going to be three very exciting games or two. If we put the mental capacity behind it, the a lot of times that a team can feel that. I'm hoping that, I know when the Jays were hot a couple of years ago, there was like some fun songs and fun video montages and all that stuff. And you would think with all the people with free time in the world out there, at least somebody would throw something fun together. Just have some fun. And if you see something, let us know in the comments or send us an email or whatever and get involved. It makes you feel it's like having your own baseball pool, but you're only involved in this little group of however many.
As long as it keeps crushing it like my fantasy football team, I'm happy. So on that note, I even asked this to my team here yet, but I've been chit-chatting with some of the guys over at Jays Journal about hosting a Twitter Spaces thing for recording for a live show after the game, seeing they're all 4:30. You guys are more than welcome to join in, obviously. That includes you too, Charlie. So Obviously, when I get that all linked up and set up, I will make sure I set that out to everybody who wants to participate. It will be on Twitter, so my team here can join however they want, but everybody will be able to join in and have that conversation with all of us after games. And that's because they're all at 4:30. I'm like, okay, well, I got to do something. Can't just sit here on my butt and not have fun with Blue Jays Nation.
Yep.
So that's where we're going. And then if the off season comes too soon, I promise you, we have some really, really fun things planned that are ready to go whenever we get to that point. We're not going to give you all this stupid season in review shows. I promise. We'll have some fun and goof around this off season, and all fans and fellow podcasts and writers will be obviously all included and invited. So, Charlie, you're going to be our judge for the picks that we had last week.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ken has kind of ran away with this whole thing, but we're going to have to figure out a way to shame each other through the playoffs here. I'm going to mix up these names so you don't know who picked who. And okay, if you can just tell me out of the four guys who you think wins, I'll put a win column in for somebody. We have Matt Chapman, Kevin Biggio, Vladdy, and Whit Merrifield. For last
week. What's this? In terms
best
of
week. Who had the week? Best week last week?
Correct. Since this last show last Monday, so who's had the last best week in
any criteria you want to, Charlie? Baseball. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be the guy who got the most hits or whatever. The guy that was most clutch. How are you feeling? Okay.
Matt Chapman. Was,
oh,
Matt Chapman coming out pretty clutch, and unfortunately, once again, that's fucking Ken's pick. So Ken makes it an even 10 for the whole damn season. Meanwhile, me in a distant fifth or a second with 5 and Jason in the guest spot tied with 4. So I'm thinking we need to figure out something fun for the, if you know, when we get to the next round here, because that's what's going to happen, right? Positive thinking. We'll let it happen. It's going to happen. We got to figure out maybe that somebody runs with the hosting bit for a bit or something like that. If they win the next 3 days here. Give me a break. This is getting old. So, Charlie, you want to pick for the guest spot and tell me who's going to have the best performance of all Blue Jays in the next 3 days?
The Hound. Go with Chris Bassitt.
Ooh. Going with the Bass. Jason, you get to go next because Ken's, you know, that one that keeps winning.
I am once again going to ride Charlie's coattails, and I am going to go with one of the two that should really dominate in this series, and I'm going to veer away from first base and softly land at shortstop, and I am going to take Josefus Bichettis.
So you're hoping that Bo knows playoff baseball.
Yeah, I'm hoping Bo knows where the walls are in the Twin Stadium, and I'm hoping that he – you know, even the fire that we just saw in the last couple of weeks, you know, there's a couple of base hits and stuff that he got. And I think sometimes he doesn't play into the corny stuff in the Dougie and stuff like that. And he was right. And he hit that double and he was screaming as he's rolling into two. And you're like, all right, man, let's go.
It was waiting for that one when he was like,
yeah,
like his shirt just to like rip off. And it was like something out of a cartoon, right? Oh, Kenny, who are you thinking?
Well, I think I'm not allowed to pick Chapman because I think I picked him last week. So I'm going to have to go with my other pick from before, Usama Barshaw. I think he's probably going to step it up for this next week. So he's going to be my pick.
There it is. And Craig loves catchers. So I'm going to go with the Maple Beef, Mr. Alejandro Kirk. So, and that's just because I think his bat's been too damn hot lately. And I think it's going to play just like Dalton Barshaw with you, Kenny. So, guys, is there anything else we got to get on the agenda here before we, you know, wrap it up? Charlie, if there's not, this is your shameless self-promoting plug. Tell Blue Jays fans where to find you on Jays Journal and where your work's at.
JaysJournal.com, Charlie Kime 1 at on Twitter or X. Do we call it X now?
Supposed to make the single.
Yeah. The offseason, there's a lot to talk about. A lot of guys whose contracts drop off this year. It's a pretty old team and the farm system's not great. So looking forward to chatting in the off season, no matter what happens in the playoffs here.
100%.
Yeah, there it is. And just to hint and be that teasing person that I am, I'm hosting a Guess That Blue Jays tournament with a bunch of podcasters and writers and see who's the best. All are welcome. So on that note, everybody, let's go Blue Jays. It's that time of the year. we are so damn close to having a good chance to run with something here. And I think it gets started in Minnesota tomorrow at 4:30, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us after the ball game live on Twitter. I will be recording it. You will be on our show for an episode after that. And to that point, make sure if you miss us out for these live shows each week, even in the off season, if that for some reason happens sooner than it should, make sure you catch us every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And if you miss us there, make sure you click us wherever you get your podcasting pleasures for. And guys, that's the end of the show. Caleb Joseph chant of 1, 2, 3. Blue Jays.
Mookie Wilson.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.